Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this February 8th, 2020. And we've got the men on the line and we welcome them. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother John with us, too. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Beautiful sunrise, just fixing to crest over the Radio Ranch, the colors. And, boy, when you walked outside this morning, if you have, I don't see how you can't just be thankful to God and thank Him for such a beautiful morning. There's snow on the ground. The wind's not too bad. For those that are calving right now, it's not too bad of a deal. And so we are thankful for a beautiful morning. We welcome you this morning, Remnant, for tuning in with us. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit this morning. And but Jason, we'll ask you if you would open us up in prayer, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this Saturday morning coffee time, Father. And I pray, Father, that you do guide us and direct us in the direction that we are to go. And Father, I pray for your hand to be on this program. And I pray, Father, for it to be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. And I pray, Father, for the enemies of Christ and those that war with me, Father, I pray that you bring them down. And I pray, Father, that you expose them and that you deal with them as you see fit. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we've seen so much corruption that has been exposed here in the media across this land here lately. And Father, I pray, Father, that you just continue to deal with them, that you turn the heat up on them, Father, and that you deal with them, that you war with them, Father. And we just hold up a shield of faith and continue to ask you to deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as the 91st Brigade, we come before you and we say, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadows of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him purely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that 91st Psalms, and we apply it to our lives, and we ask, Father, for the remnant to do the same, Father, because we recognize that there is power in this 91st Psalm, and there is power in our Almighty God, and we serve a mighty God, Father, and we thank you that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we ask for your help. We ask for your help in this land, and Father, we know that we're in a pickle without you. And we call upon you to help us and deliver us, to strengthen us and to encourage us, to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we can do our part. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. And remember, we have sent out several these past couple days of the Psalms 91 laminated bookmarker. Be glad to send it to you. And had a brother call yesterday and ordered a dozen of them. Said he's going to hand them out to his friends. And so we'd be glad to send you one. Contact us, and we've got that Psalms 91. A good reminder, a good tool, especially in this day in this day that we live. And we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give us a call. And Tim, you had a, I'd seen the article you were talking about, but if you want to lead off with this about this midwife, I think this is quite interesting, and the people need to know about this.
Well, basically, one of the things that I thought, it's just, it is insane. That was the title on the article that I read. It's insane. Not the midwife being insane, but the state of New York, which we know that it seems like from one end to the other, I mean, if you're East Coast or West Coast, where there's just so many things on that go on that we just shake our head. It's like, but we have a midwife being charged out there with 95 felonies in the state of New York for delivering babies. I mean, they charged her with she's a Mennonite. Elizabeth Kaplan is her name. I'll just put it out there because I think she needs our prayers. These women provide a service, and not only a service, it's a godly calling to most of them that I've been around, and our children were all delivered with midwives. I mean, and to them it was a Christian godly calling. They approached it as a ministry. And, there was a lot of prayer and a lot of care and a lot of love for that. For most of them, it was a lifelong undertaking, but they're charging her with a death on one particular baby and trying to make an example out of her. And, you know, the thing about it is that the compassionate care that they give is just thrown away. And I think that when we see what's going on there, it's okay to the thing that strikes me all the time about this is they got all these rules about midwifery and about these women who have children, and it's a case of hold on just a second, I'm adjusting my mic a little more. Maybe that's better. Hopefully.
Well, it's one of those things is you see what these midwives have to go through and everything. And I mean, the sad thing is you use a midwife and you use a midwife for your children. You go to, if you ever do end up in a doctor hospital situation, the first thing that they do is they come in and they want you to, do you want to press charges against your midwife? Do you want to press charges? Do you want to write a report? You know, we're investigating. They don't like midwives. Midwives go back to, you know, I mean, it's one of the earliest professions. It's been the, you know, it's written.
Absolutely.
They hate it, and they can't stand it. And they don't like children being born at home, in the story. And a lot of people have it made up in their mind that it's impossible and that you can't do it, and it doesn't work. The first thing that happens when they go into the hospital is that, you know, they try to get them to press charges and do all that kind of stuff. You know, I've known it. I've seen it happen to several times, and they've tried to get my family to do the same thing. You know, I mean, and basically, it is when you make up your mind that you're going to deliver a child at home, it's, you know, you're trusting in God, and it's, you know, that's where it's at. Tim, you've been there before.
Yes.
But, you know, you're not going to go press charges against somebody like that. I mean, it's in God's hands at that point in time. And I'd rather trust my children being born to a midwife than to, you know, a doctor in a hospital where they're, you know, they've got all these sicknesses and diseases running around.
Well, yeah, and they jab them with all kinds of things, and we've talked about the vaccine thing. The thing that astounds me about the whole thing is it's just fine to take your, to go in and abort your baby. I mean, and murder it and kill it, chop it up and, you know, treat it that way. That's fine. But, if you make the decision to say, well, God, you know, we place it in your hands. We want this midwife. We want to do it at home in a loving and Christian environment. And something happens, then they want to, you know, take you to the dock. They want to take you to the court, and basically, this woman is facing life in prison, you know, for that. Yeah, it's very hypocritical. I mean,
right.
As far as the powers that be go. It's okay to kill them, but if one dies inadvertently while it's trying to be born alive, I mean, we're talking about, what is it, full-term abortions. I mean, you know, nowadays, it's that's fine. But if you trust God and you want to have your baby at home and it dies, well, then somebody's going to pay. So.
Yeah, it really shows the hypocrisy. And people are starting to see it. They're starting to see the hypocrisy that's here, just like was mentioned, that it's okay to abort the babies, as long as you're in the system doing it. But anything outside of the system, you know, charging this midwife with 95 felonies? What are the felonies? Delivering a baby? You know, if you go back to Exodus 1, when there arose a Pharaoh that knew not, boy, somebody's really hitting their microphone there, when there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph and knew not Joseph's people. And that's what he told the midwives to do. Kill the boys. Kill them. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't obey him then. And they were blessed because of it. They were blessed because they lied to the government about it. They lied to the Pharaoh. And you're right, they hate it. It's one of the oldest professions. It's an honorable profession. And the world today, the status quo, you might say, they hate it. They do. But even when they do, you see, just like this, this one Mennonite midwife delivered 95 children. The story I read, there was one that hours after the mom and baby were okay, hours after the midwife went home, one of the 95 babies died. And that is what got it. It's not that that family came against the midwife. The family's not wanting to bring charges against the midwife. Just like you said, Jason, it's the system. The system is doing it. The state of New York. You know, with everything that we have, with the invasions that we have going on, the MS-13 gangs, this is what the state of New York is doing. They're okay, you know, abortions on every corner, not a problem with that. People shooting, killing themselves, and killing each other on every corner, no problem with that. But how dare you deliver children? I encourage you, go back and read Exodus 1, especially 15 through 21 and verse 22, to where it talks about the midwives there and the problems they faced. And they do still face them today. They certainly need our prayers.
Well, it's a control issue. There's no doubt about that. And it's about licensure. It's about money. It's about all those sort of things that gives them the power over that. And if you choose to have your child at the hospital, I mean, that's your choice. I mean, but there's information out there all over the place, but those midwives aren't abortion doctors. They're not out there to kill your child. I mean, they want to see a healthy baby born. And I'll tell you what, the ones that I've been around, they're thankful to God when there's a successful birth. They're happy. They feel like they've accomplished their ministry's purpose. And I just see that stuff go on, and I just can't help but feel that we need to definitely pray for this lady. She needs to be on the prayer list. And, and they're all across this land. And this problem is prevalent all across this land. And the other thing, I was talking to a young guy the other day, and he said, that's just ridiculous. I mean, how do you control this and how do you control that? And what ifs? And I said, it's funny because your mom, and if not your mom, definitely your grandmother, was probably born at home.
Yes.
I said, it hasn't been all that long ago that almost all babies were born at home. You know, whether it was with an attending doctor or an attending midwife or just the loving family and grandmother doing it, you know. But this is new, folks. This hospital being, these children being born in the hospital, this isn't some old thing that goes back to, 1776 or something. It's a new rage. So, something to think about.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And Brother Jonathan, how are you doing? What are you seeing with everything that's going on? Had a busy week. Had, you know, the State of the Union address. Had the president was acquitted this week. Quite a bit going on in the political scenes. What are you seeing there?
Let's see. Well, basically, there's no denying that the demon rats are out to destroy our country. In fact, I was just reading this morning that there's a new bill that they're putting forward, H.R. 5383, called the New Way Forward Act. And part of that act is, if you think that a criminal that got deported is gone for good, think again. They will be flown back to the U.S. on your dime. 500,000 illegals convicted of everything from robbery to assault to drug trafficking to weapons trafficking, sexual assault on human and human trafficking, kicked out of the country for a good reason, will be welcomed back with open arms into America, paid for by your taxes. Estimate that that could cost up to $1 billion. But anyways, this is the insanity that's, anymore you just, you can't just say, well, it's hard to believe that they're going to do something like that. Well, absolutely they are. And what they're saying is that the New Ways Act basically provides a pathway for previously deported to apply to return to their homes and families in the United States. Sort of a retroactive grandfather clause if they would not have been deported under other provisions of the act. Oh, and by the way, no matter what the crime was, the immigration judges will determine whether those charges were waived or not. And, you know, I was reading something that was totally disgusting and totally enraged me this morning about what's going on in Sweden and how these Muslim gangs are raping these young women, 12, 13, 11 years old, and they're getting community service. And, we're not that far away from that in this country, too. Fortunately, I still think there's enough men in this country that would not allow that to continue. And I can't, for the life of me, figure out why. Sweden isn't taking these measures into their own hands. The men in Sweden,
yes, well, and it's one of the things that's happening in Sweden too is there's a lot of stuff that is not being published on the news. And if you look, if you go over to Sweden News and you start looking at it from basically a Sweden portal, their news is a lot different than our news. And basically, there is situations, quite a few of them lately, that has happened over there, and where they've had all vacant stands and they can stand no more, and there's a lot of these Muslims that are just disappearing and that are just gone. But they don't publish that because they don't want it to be widespread news, and they don't want it to come, to be popular. They don't want people to hear about it because it might spark an idea, and then people might be saying, oh, hey, here's an idea. What if they just go away?
Yeah, absolutely. But the same ludicrousy
applies. Part of that is because I've been following it. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. The same ludicrousy applies there, though, because I was reading about a woman who is being raped and stabbed her assailant and is being charged for attempted murder. So that's just the insanity that's going on in other countries that if they have their way, is coming here.
Wow. Speechless. I'm left.
Yeah, we are certainly in the times that good is called evil and evil is called good. We shake our heads at it, and, it's almost like, what next? What next? This coronavirus is still kind of making its way around. The latest numbers I saw, over 600 dead and over 31,000 just in China infected. And seeing it in other countries, over 25 other countries, and even the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines, several of those were under scares this last week from people that seem to have the coronavirus flu-like symptoms and were under lockdown. One was off of Italy for several days. And so now they've just said people with passports from China, Hong Kong, and other countries in that area are barred from its cruise ships. And if they've even traveled from or to or through China, Hong Kong, up to 2 weeks prior, that they're not going to let them on board. And so, you know, we've seen swine flu, bird flu, we've seen things like this come through in the past. So it's not, we're not Chicken Little running around, you know, screaming the sky is falling. But we're letting you know these are things that are that haven't happened. These things didn't happen with the swine flu. You know, Royal Caribbean didn't stop people from coming on board with the bird flu. And so, it you know, like Jason praying the Psalms 91 earlier, no, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't. And so we are to be prayed up. We are to be ready physically, spiritually, as much as possible, you know, for these things. I think there's over 12 reported cases in the United States, and we'll see. John,
we talked about before how when a rat's cleaned, it'll just turn and fight to the death, right? Well, these demon rats are cornered, and it doesn't. I wouldn't put it past them just to even bring something like this into this country. In fact, this week, if you listen carefully to the headlines, I think one thing our pastor did give us was the ability to start to have eyes to see and ears to hear and to pray for that, and God will give it to you. But they were talking about bringing in hundreds of American citizens from China, probably working in the Chinese factories or whatever it was, but they're not bringing them to one location.
No.
They're bringing them to California, they're bringing them to Nebraska, and they're bringing them to Texas. Now you tell
they
me why you would bring infected
strategically what? Placing them.
Yes,
exactly.
For widespread disaster they are doing.
Now you contrast that, John,
and,
with
you know,
with what Russia's doing. I saw this headline that ties right in with that. Putin made an announcement. They had a plane of 143 Russians.
Go ahead and finish, John.
That they were pulling out, and Russia's putting them all in one place in Siberia for quarantine. And you look at the contrast between what they're doing and what you know, what our people, what our leadership is doing, and it's night and day.
Plus, they've sent the live viruses to most of the CDC labs, which means there's probably one real close to us, and there's one that they're admitting that they sent it to in Montana. And but you know, the thing is, the Chinese quarantine efforts, they're basically announcing that they're going to quarantine this next big town of Chinese in China, 25 million people, in a couple days. So what are those people doing? They've seen what's going on in Shanghai or whatever. I can't even pronounce half the names of this stupid country. But anyways, they're announcing that the quarantine is coming to this city. And people are fleeing in droves because basically they're putting them in these death camps. I mean, if they put you in a hospital with armed guards and bars on the windows, and you know, these are basically shipping containers that they've turned into makeshift hospitals, and you just go there to die. I mean, even if you only have a little bit of a symptom or something, you may be put in those confined spaces with people who do have full blown, you know, disease. And anyway, so now they're saying that this basically their quarantine efforts, their drastic quarantine efforts, are causing people to flee and the virus to spread much more rapidly than, you know, than they ever thought. But the thought occurred to me too is that I believe there's a great revival coming. I believe that those that can will come to repentance and fall upon their face, cry out, ask for forgiveness, and those that are smart will be praying Psalms 91. Psalm 91 is basically God's promise for his people that if we remain faithful, that these things will not come upon us. And the churches will be full once again because people have no other place to go, and they'll start flock into the churches again in droves, and we need to be ready to share the truth of the gospel. And but, you know, God's not mocked. At some point, he's just going to take matters into his own hands, and he's going to cleanse the earth of those that hate him and hate his people. Yeah. Now, how he chooses to do it, none of us know.
Amen.
Sorry.
But, you know, the other thing we need to understand is I've already talked to some people who are in the tech industry, and there's parts that aren't coming out of China now. I mean, they've shut down Foxconn, I guess, which makes pretty much all the Apple phones and all that stuff. And, you know, one of the dangers that those that were smart predicted and warned the people about, you move all your manufacturing to China. I mean, literally. And everything that's in Walmart and everything that's in Target and a lot of other places, hardware stores, everywhere else, all that stuff's coming from China. You shut that country down, and all of a sudden, you got nothing. And it's just a matter of time. People need to realize that. And we need to be taking precautions physically, spiritually, you know, in every way, because these things are real. There's no doubt about it.
Amen. John saw this from the South China Morning Post, and it was just 2 days ago, and talking about how the coronavirus is going to test just how reliant the world is on the Chinese manufacturers, because there's regions in China that account for 80% of their exports, and those regions are on lockdown, like you said. The factories are closed. They're not allowing the people to travel, you're absolutely right. You know, it is a rolling impact. It's not happening in America today, because the ships from China are still on the ocean, and there's still containers that are being unloaded in the California ports and being trucked over. But that's today. Give it a week or two. We've seen it here. Many people don't see our supply logistics that go on in this country. We've seen it out here, and there in Colorado and Nebraska as well. You get a 3-day blizzard that the roads are closed down, and it only takes 3 days, and all the bread, all the milk, all the perishables in the grocery stores are gone. And after about 5 days, you get to 5 days, and the cans start disappearing, and that's just on the foodstuffs. And we're really just something like this away, from the shelves emptying out. The pictures that are coming out of even Hong Kong and places in China are showing that already. Bare shelves, deserted streets. This article also talked about how the U.S. economy has been buoyed, has been lifted up, because of this, because the people are seeing that, hey, these things are not going to be here. We can't order and get our normal shipment of whatever it is coming in from China. And so the Purchasing Managers Index, it's a survey of supply managements, is up 3%. And so we're seeing that that's right, their manufacturing is all but shut down. And so it's going to be up to us to continue that. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Hello, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Praise Jesus. He's coming soon.
Amen.
Well, you're talking about the Chinese and everything. There's a lot that many, many people here in America especially, but in the West, they don't understand about the Chinese ethos. And that they have a very hard time in their Eastern mindset. They have a hard time dealing with the West. And the reason why is because they're inward-looking. All of the, you know, their inherent culture, their basic religion, they're at root, they're animists. They got millions of gods. They don't talk about it, but it's the truth. And their Buddhism is a relatively modern made-up religion, but the state, of course, is non-religious, or so they think. But I remember reading many years ago in a world atlas.
Real problem is their communism.
Part of the 20th century, that the Chinese people in what is today called China, they were gaining in technological. This is in ancient history. They were gaining in technological advancements, primarily from bleed over from the West, and they actually had an incipient proto-Iron Age at one time, going back many, many, like thousands of years ago. And something happened with because they had emperors back then. One of their emperors got a revelation or something. Maybe he died, or maybe one of his wives died or something. And he threw a fit or something. I can't remember exactly what happened. But the whole Oriental population of what is now China back then, they didn't call themselves China. They were all provincial. They lost their Iron Age. They went back to rocks or copper or whatever they used to use for tools. And that's because of their inward looking ethos. They don't, you know, you see the in poetry, our people's poetry, they say, you know, what's over the other side of the mountain? That's our outlook on life. We are outward looking in many, many ways, in our dance, in our speech, in our religion, and so forth. But that's one basic reason why they can't handle things over there. Their society is so fragile because they have that Eastern ethos, that Oriental ethos, but they're trying to westernize things, and they simply can't do it. I believe it.
Well, Joe, sure, thanks for the comments, and absolutely, huge differences. You know, Mr. Hoskins always talked about that, the difference in the Eastern man and the Eastern religions, and the difference in that and Western man, and how those influences have come in.
I had a job a couple decades ago at a driving range in the summer, and there was a Chinese man there. He was an American, but he was 100% Chinese Mongol, and I still can picture it in my mind's eye, standing there in the bathroom having a conversation with him. You know, we were washing our hands, cooling off. It was in the summertime. The only place in that building that was, you know, tolerable was the men's room. So I'm standing there. We're having a discussion about this or that, and he was kind of like my foreman, and to look at him in the eyes was like looking at a deer in his eyes. There's nothing there. Eyes are the windows of the soul, they say. I guess they're soulless people. I don't hate Chinese, but the fact you can't. The old saying that the Chinese are an inscrutable people. You can't figure them out. Guys, have a good day.
All right, Joe. Thanks, you too.
And
thanks
for the call. Bless us all.
God bless. Interesting comments there. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Seen quite a bit going on, even Hong Kong. You know, many of the countries bordering China had just closed their borders. Russia did that. They just closed the borders. They stopped the trains, the planes, the automobiles. They just stopped it. And they are quarantining their people when they bring them back quite a bit. Hong Kong has not done that. Hong Kong, no longer under British rule, but under Chinese rule. And Hong Kong hasn't. And Hong Kong has prevented, they have stopped American journalists from coming in. Got a journalist that covers a lot of Far Eastern the war in the Middle East and Far East and Thailand and places like that. And Hong Kong is kicking the Western journalists out, and so lots going on. It's not unrest like war in the Middle East, but lots going on. Very much unrest there in the Far East, in Hong Kong and China.
The thing that people don't take into account yet either is they're not sure how long this virus lives on a hard surface. I mean, so if that's the case, you know, they could have an incubation period, not only in a human being, but on a hard surface for 2 weeks or something. Then you got stuff that's coming over from China that may be transferring the disease as well. As of right now, they don't know how long this disease lives on its own on a hard surface. And then the other thing is, I mean, we're witnessing the plagues of Egypt here too.
Yes.
The government of Pakistan just declared a national emergency on Saturday, February 1st, which was, I guess, a week ago, that the nation faces its worst locust plague in 27 years. And that's hit in the Middle East. It's already gone through Africa.
Yes.
And these are like the sizes of cities, 500 billion locusts. Devouring everything. If you read, you know, Joel, where it talks about the devouring locusts ate what, you know, all the different locusts just finally ate everything till there was nothing. But it's interesting that it's hitting these nations that have these false religions for the most part. And but there's nothing to say that, you know, those plagues can't hit America too. Right now, I believe God's still has some favor for this country. He's given us that window of opportunity to come to repentance. I think he's definitely the parable of the wheat and the tares is in effect here, that the tares are becoming so bold and brazen. I mean, even more than we would have thought they would be. I guarantee you, if Pastor Peters was talking, he would be a little bit astonished too at how bold and brazen the tares have become, to the fact that they're not hiding anymore, that they hate God, they hate God's people, and they hate good. It's good versus evil, period. And they're destroyers. They're the ones that the Bible warned us about, that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour. They have a name. Yep. It's called Demon Rat, and they seek to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's all that they do.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, that's why, you know, for a while we've been saying it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's, you know what? It's Psalms 91 or bust, too. It really is.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's Psalms 91.
Exactly.
If you want to be spared from the things that are coming, then you better not only say these things and pray these things, but you better believe these things. You better believe that there is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that can protect you from the plagues of Egypt, and you know what? 1,000 will die at your left hand and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not touch you because you are protected by the blood of Jesus. No greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what the Bible says? Every tongue will profess and every knee will bow. And it will. And I believe that day is coming fairly quickly.
It is. And like you said, John, and I think we're going to see some are going to return to the churches. Some are going to demand that the Word of God be read and not just this feel-good that, you know, prosperity that is put out by so many you know, so many of these, we hear of these mainstream churches that just put out this prosperity gospel that, and it's just not that way. It is not that way. We are to fear God and not just sit back and think of Him as a sugar daddy that, well, if we pray, and we tithe and do a couple of these things that we're just going to be protected and all's going to be well. But we have His promises. We do, and obedience is a huge part of that. Not just belief. The Bible says the demons believe. They believe that Jesus is the Christ. But we are to believe and then obey. We're to obey what he, you know, the biblical plan of salvation, and not just raising your hand in the back of the church. And then we are to lead a sanctified life, a life away, outside of the ways of the world. It's the world, the ways of the world that hate Christ. Whether it's, we see it with how they come against midwives in New York, how they've come against midwives everywhere, how they come against Christianity, how it's been taken from the schools, almost from society itself. But his word is still there.
We have to make sure we don't let our guard down. We need to continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark were brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops. We need to continue to pray that God would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they'd fall in the pits that they dig, being ensnared in the traps that they lay, and we need to continue to pray for righteous judgment. And God's answering those prayers, and we can see that more than ever in my lifetime. We're seeing the things that were done even 40, 50 years ago are being brought to the light, and we're seeing confusion in the camp. We're seeing the enemy destroy one another, but we can't let our guard down. I mean, one thing we need to understand is you got an openly homosexual presidential candidate, Pete Buttigieg, or whatever the heck his name is, that's openly kissing his husband in front of people, and, you know, he's got a chance to win that demon rat nomination, and we can't let our guard down for a minute.
Amen.
No, we can't. And, you know, and it, like you said, that they are exposing themselves too. I mean, you know, that State of the Union address when Pelosi starts ripping up the papers, you know, I mean, that was like, I mean, that was just, that was priceless. And I love the way Mike Pence put it too, because he's like, well, I didn't know if she was ripping up Trump's speech or if it was the Constitution. And he did it with a straight face. So, yeah, God bless him for that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and that's an illegal act in and of itself. I mean, there's a rule up there that says that was an official document that she's tearing up. That's 3 years in jail, a fine, and according to the rules, she can no longer hold public office. I mean, I'd like to see him, you know, go after her on that. I mean, throw her sorry rear end out of there, you know, so.
Yeah, well, they actually filed some charges against her, but that's why we need to pray for that righteous judgment, you know. We just need to keep praying for righteous judgment, because they think that they're above the law. But I think like you said, it was classic, the fact that God made Trump so abhorrent to her that she just couldn't, she didn't know what to do anymore. She just couldn't take it. And, you know, they show their true colors, and that's what's important, I think, is so many people are waking up to the fact that these people hate God, and, you know, and they don't hide it anymore. The fact they even bring it out in their own conventions, you know, that demon rat convention's coming up pretty quick, I think, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it'll be interesting to see what their theme is going to be. And but, you know, she's trying to pass a law right now that or trying to pass some sort of legislation that video cannot be shown of her ripping up the paper. So, I mean, people, you know, they're even in Virginia, they're passing laws that you can't say anything negative against the lawmakers or the judges or anybody that's in a position of authority by penalty of jail time and fines and all that. So, you know, they understand that there's a people, and our people understand God's rights, they understand liberty, they understand that the Constitution was put in place for his people who are called by his name, and that if you push those people too far, then they won't take it. And our people have been pushed pretty much to the edge, I think.
Yes, sir.
They are being pushed.
Yeah, when they invoke the name of God, why, that becomes, you know, they start looking around for tools, and it's like, invoke the name of God over this thing, you know, and pray and humble yourself. And like we're talking about, Chronicles. I mean, it's
it's a done deal when that begins to happen, and they're pushing buttons that they, you know, that they, and they hate themselves. I mean, you want to talk about the party of hate. You look at that. Everything they do is deprivation, destruction. You know, they, every single thing they do, the fruit of it is annihilation. I mean, they don't, and they can't even get, they're so weak they can't even find anybody to run. I mean, that's another thing that's funny. And the percentages of the people that are there are so small and so divided and so confused. I mean, it's that confusion that has been being played into them. You can see it. They're totally, inept and unable. I laughed at, Donald Trump Jr. saying he was, and it was satire, of course, but it was still just very comical. He was thanking Schumer for pointing out all the people that needed fired in his pockets. In the president's.
Yeah, and actually they're doing it. They just got rid of both the Vindmans, and they got rid of that, Fondland, and, you know, cause he can. And, you know, I read an article the other day that now that Trump's been cleared, he's taken off the gloves, and there's going to be a whole lot of righteous judgment, Lord willing. That's our prayer.
Amen. That's right.
Exciting times.
They are. They are.
I thought it was one thing I thought was kind of interesting. It's a bit of a gear change, but it just shows that God controls things and fixes things. And, you know, I'm always amazed at God's orderly world and how he'll put it in order if you just ask him to, and if you just pray believing, and if you follow follow his rules and precepts. I mean, it just, those things fall into place and come around. And, these researchers over at Chernobyl are looking around, and there's a fungus over there that's just consuming all this radiation, you know, and it's all, just going away, and they're just like, wow, nothing can live with this. But God has things. I mean, to me, that's one of those, signs, if you want to call it, you know, you look for.
Well, and that part of God's system, and he's cleaning it up is what he's doing.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is. Yeah, I've looked at that too, and I've seen that, and it's really interesting because they're finding a new fungus that basically attacks, kills radiation.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, God.
Oh, and it's actually a fungus that is, you know, that is something that basically takes something that's bad and turns it into something that's good.
Imagine that. That sounds just like the God we serve. Guys, we've got a minute for a quick phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, just a quick comment. I might have missed it, and I apologize if I did. If somebody else already mentioned this, so I had to step away from the phone. But I thought it was pretty either subconsciously or consciously insightful when President Trump said the other day that Nancy Pelosi prays in the opposite way. And I thought, wow, that's pretty incredible, because until this ministry, I never even thought about, you know, praying for curses to fall upon the enemies of God, you know, and things like that. So anyhow, that's all I got. I'm going to hang up and listen. I appreciate all you do. Appreciate the show. Y'all have a great morning.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
No, appreciate the comment. Thank you.
Yeah, there were some great comments that came out of that National Prayer Breakfast this week that had never been mentioned there before. You know, when the president, he said that, you know, it's a shame when people say they pray and they don't, was one of the comments.
Or when they pray for you and you know that they're not praying, you know, like you said, they're praying in the opposite direction, I think was his exact words. And, basically saying that obviously there's more than one God, because the first commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the Bible is clear that the god of this world is Satan. And
right.
So when these people say that they're praying to God, they're praying to their god, the god of this world, Satan. And that's why they hate the name Jesus Christ. And that's why it's I don't know, in my opinion, it's another shibboleth, you know. Well, they use the name Jesus Christ because the majority of those that are the pretenders, the fakers, those that are in positions of authority for the purpose of destruction, do not use that name, will not use that name. Attack that name every time it's used. And it's a litmus test as well, I believe. But you know,
I don't know. I know a lot of them that actually will lie to you, look you in the face, lie to you, and they will use the name of Jesus Christ. And they can. So, yeah.
That's good. Well, then they're pronouncing judgment upon themselves, right?
Amen.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
And it's going to come down upon them.
Well, those are the ones that don't fear God, right? There are still some that still fear God. And they understand the Bible better than we do, but there's the idiots out there who think that they have more power than God, and they don't fear God, and that's the most important thing. And those are the ones that would dare use the name of Jesus Christ without its proper place. Anyways, I think
yeah, and I think
important.
Their time is coming. I think that those
yep,
that don't
absolutely.
Fear God, and they think they can do whatever they want and get by with it. I think that their time is coming close to an end.
It's pretty much blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? The unforgivable sin. And
yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
God's not going to lie, and he will hold them accountable. And, boy, that's going to be quite a judgment there, I believe, when you take the name of the Lord in vain and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But I think, well, we got a few minutes, we should talk about what God did really there in Iowa, too, you know. The reason that the results didn't come out that night were specifically because there was such a dismal turnout. I was reading something the other day. Only 217 people in a county of 97,000 showed up
yes.
at a caucus. And that was in, I believe it was Dubuque, Iowa. I mean, that's a big town. But,
yeah, that's
you
a
know,
real big town.
The thing that the demon rats are freaking out about, I think, is because the majority of the people in this country aren't for communism, socialism, antichristism. I mean, they're not for it. They may have been for the old Democrat Party, which was a liberal party, because they've been believed the lie, they've been indoctrinated in the school system. But, in God's grace, mercy, and compassion, he's really pulled out all the stops for these demon rats, and they're not hiding it anymore. So you're really going to choose to stay who you shall serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Satan? And those are the only two choices, really. And if you support the demon rat party, then you're choosing to serve the God of this world. And you will be held accountable, as far as I'm concerned, but according to Scripture.
Absolutely. I think what you're, just to kind of dovetail into that, John, I think Mark 7 is that one. He says, you know, we talk about all this confusion and we talk about him using the name of Jesus, and, you know, Mark 7, 5-7 says that the Pharisees and scribes asked him, about all that, and he answered unto them and said, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And, that's... They use the name, but they're in danger of hellfire because they invoke the name of Jesus Christ and then try to substitute God's laws for, all their little rules, and it's not going to work out well for them. I mean, it's one of those things.
And people are waking up to it. They're waking up to it. You know, I think our president has been doing a great job, like he said, and you mentioned, John, about, praying in the opposite direction, praying the other way. He can't come out as president and just say what these people are doing, but he has said what they're doing, and this system is so corrupt, and it has been so corrupt for so long, but it's getting cleaned up, it is, and it takes time. You read back in Ezra and Nehemiah when they rebuilt the temple, when they came back and rebuilt the wall, that wasn't a weekend job. That was over a span of 60, 70 years that was taking. And so it takes a while, and it takes revival. It takes a changing of the hearts of the people, a returning to God. Well, men, we are out of time. Want to invite, make sure we get an invitation out for church tomorrow, guys. We will be having church. And we welcome you to join us at scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 in the morning. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth for you. John, looking forward to your live message. We'll have communion. You can come and remember with like-minded Christians what our God has done for us, how much He truly loves us. And so we invite you to join us there. Men, thanks. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.